This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. In-kind support comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992, and from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louis the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going well.
So is it too late to go to CES? When does that start?
It starts pretty soon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm Googling when it is. I think we should just...
Should we do a remote from there?
Throw caution to the wind. It starts tomorrow. And ends Friday.
Know anybody has a camper that wants to go to Vegas?
Man, it's really tempting, I'll tell you. I was looking at... I came across one thing right off the bat that Sony is rolling out it's called Xperia Ear. Have you heard of that?
No.
It is basically what they're trying to do is solve the problem of how it's basically a set of headphones, stereo headphones, or they clip into your ear, hang on your ear, and it's solving the problem that when you're wearing headphones, it's like either you're listening to what's coming in on the headphones or you're listening to, have your music turned off and listening to everything else. And so the idea is, it basically says, for a couple of years now, Sony's been trying to build headphones that let you listen to music without blocking sound from the world around you. There are always lots of headphones that try to do this in a high-tech way, but using microphones to record sound from the outside world and pumping that in over your music. But Sony's taking a decidedly low-tech approach. It's making earbuds with a giant hole in them to let sound through. How revolutionary is that? And it's a pretty cool looking little. That's what they look like.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and
wonder how the bass response is.
That's a good question.
Because usually the, particularly earbuds, need a good seal around the ear canal to get a to get a good bass response.
Get some good compression
to get out of the driver function correctly. Mm. So,
well, I guess I'll scroll down and see what it says about that. It actually really, that's one of my biggest beefs about. I used to go to New York City on business a lot, and I'd be, cruising around, in the subways or whatever. And it's just, maybe it's just because I'm such a tourist. I want to be, as connected to my environment as I possibly can for a number of different reasons, partially because I'm a tourist. And the other reason is that, if somebody sneaking up behind me is going to mug me, I want to be able to hear that. So maybe I can avoid being mugged, maybe.
Yeah, it's nice to have some situational awareness when you're wearing earbuds.
I like that, situational awareness. Yeah, so I think, if they get this, if this technology is really all that they say it's going to be, the headline says, "So Sony's open-ear headphones make it sound like you're always in a mall." So,
well, I guess it just depends on if you're playing elevator music or or top 20 hits or something. Yeah.
I guess it depends. To me, it depends if it's the Glenwood Springs Mall or if it's Park Meadows down in Denver. I don't know. I don't know which one's better, actually.
I don't know. So, you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976. Call in with your computer questions, or we can set up a printer or whatever you like.
People have had 2 weeks to break their stuff.
Yes.
Or actually, three weeks, right? Since we were on last. There should be a lot of problems. Yeah. Or all their new Christmas things that still aren't working correctly. They can give us a call. We can help them get them going, work them out. If any of you have any really cool tech gadgets that you decide you don't want, you can just bring them down to the station and give them to me and Matt, and we'll review them. Probably won't give them back, but we'll review them and report back, to what we find out. So it's, because I actually went and got a new set of Bluetooth headphones. They're the closed ear ones, it's for going to the gym. And, because I just want to block out. In that environment, I don't need situational awareness. I just want to block out the cheesy pop music that's being piped in, on the sound system at the club. So
there you go.
Anyway. So I hear our friends at Intel are like in a little bit of a spin today.
Yeah, they've been in a spin for a little while, but we've been away. So,
When do the news of this break? Because I just heard about it on Monday.
I'd have to go.
Today is Monday.
I think I heard about it midweek last week.
Yeah, that's about when I heard about it.
It's called Spectre and Meltdown. And then four security teams found it at the same time, but we have a call. So we'll start there.
We'll talk about that after the call.
Hello.
Hey, guys. It's Donna.
Hey.
Hey, we knew that. That's why we were so casual and said hello.
Oh, that's funny. I was just thinking about CES and...
Are you going to go?
I would love to go. I did go 1 year.
Uh-huh.
And it was fantastic.
I'll bet.
It was fantastic. I went with somebody who had tickets. I'm kind of curious how much the tickets are.
Hmm. Did they have people dressed up as superheroes and cartoon and like Marvel comic book characters?
It seems like they did have some crazy people like that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Kind of like you got to have a little bit of a Comic-Con edge to it, you know, just to, because, you know, that's what geeks like. I'm just thinking. Just saying,
well,
you know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what this geek likes, you know.
You know, I was thinking about these televisions. My sister was looking at new televisions, the 4K
mm-hmm.
Televisions, and it looks like at CES they're going to have 8K televisions. Isn't that crazy?
Isn't it frightening? I get frightened when I sit down in front of a TV that's too high a resolution. It just, I don't know, it just feels like it's just too real for me. It's, I don't know. How do you deal, Donna? Do you like it?
Well, get a smaller TV, because when you get a bigger TV and they show somebody up close, you realize either how much makeup they have on or how old they really are on screen, you know?
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, but don't wear my glasses.
Yeah. My TV is in an armoire that is like maximum 32 inches. So I have been, my upward scalability as far as my TV size has been limited, and I've been informed by the person that does the interior designing at my house that it's not going to get any bigger.
I see.
So,
well, size isn't everything.
Yeah, I'm going to be 32-inch Louis for the rest of my life. So
I was kind of curious, you know, we were looking at these screens, and I wanted your guys' opinion. They had the screens that were flat, and then they have the curved screens,
mm-hmm.
and it was funny because I was standing far away from the curved screen. This was in a Costco, and I could see the reflection in the curved screen of all the little lights on the ceiling, but I couldn't see that kind of reflection on the flat screens. So do you guys have any opinion on curved screens versus flat screens for television?
You know, I'll bet you Matt does. So you're saying that like the lights up in the ceiling of the Costco were reflecting off the
display? Could see them. Yes, I could see them in the reflection. And so we were just chatting about whether or not it would be advantageous because the curved screens were so much more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who came up said, "Well, the curved screens, unless you're looking at them straight on, I can't remember. But he said they reflect a lot." And then I mm-hmm. looked over, and sure enough, I could see all those little lights from the ceiling in the curved screen. So first of all, I thought that was really interesting. I don't know. I didn't know if the curved screens were just kind of a,
is interesting because, you know, I guess it begs the question of, is like a gloss surface on the monitor? Because, you know, they're matte and gloss.
Sure.
Surfaces on computer monitors is a gloss surface necessary on an 8K display like that?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, that's something to look into.
Well, they used to sell it as the gloss screens, you know, displayed the colors better because there wasn't any dithering from the pixels. But I don't know. I really prefer, at least on computers, I prefer matte screens so there are no reflections. Now, that being said, I went to a Costco recently as well, and I've been shopping for about a 65-inch TV, and I was looking at the room I have is very wide, so it was important for me to choose one that had very good viewing angles from the, you know, from the extreme edges of the TV, mm-hmm. so we can watch it anywhere in the room. And the curved ones actually seem to do better on the edge angle viewing than the flat ones, which is very strange, but
you would seem it would be like the near edge would be distorted, right?
Yeah, and but you don't notice it that much. So okay. I don't know what the difference is. I haven't figured it out yet. And some of the flat screens were as good or better than the curved screens, but by and large, the curved screens to me seem to have a better, wider viewing angle for whatever reason.
Well, it was interesting because when I was looking straight on one of the flat TVs, if I moved to the right, you know, a few feet, it did change the look. It made it look a lot more dull just by moving a few feet to the right or to the left. Like you're saying, like off angle, it did make a difference.
Yeah, and
but I thought that was interesting.
And it really depends on the panel because some panels do that a lot where when you're, you know, at the focal distance and the focal angle, you know, they look great, and then you move a couple feet off to the side, and they, you know, they darken up or, you know, change hue or something. And others of them don't. It just depends on the panel technology that the company has chosen to put in that model.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that's interesting, too, is that it does make a difference the size of the television relative to your room, because when I used to help audio-video people, you know, with their networking, they would often say that, you know, if you're in a 10-foot room, you need this size television. If you're in 15-foot room, you know, depending upon how far back you sit. And so I think it really does make a difference. But, boy, those TVs are just getting huge.
They sure are. So, you know, what I'm thinking about here is if you get a 40-inch curved TV, will it fit in a 32-inch armoire?
I don't think so.
I'm sitting here scheming. I'm this very self-centered.
So just bolt the armoire to the wall, and then get a nice long extension arm, and then just put like a 65-inch or 85-inch in front of it.
That's right. There you go.
Okay.
I mean, the armoire is still technically there. You haven't violated that.
You know, if they would make a TV screen that would fold in half, then I could, you know, just fold it in very nicely and tuck it in and close the doors, you know, and nobody would be the wiser. So, but anyway.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, well.
Well, I'll throw this into the mix that I'm looking at a Samsung 88-inch LED 2160 pixel smart 4K. That's a crappy little 4K TV. That is selling for the low, low price of $19,999.99.
Wow. So. Well, I will tell you this, is that you have to be very careful when you're moving an LED TV like that, because we were in Costco and there was a big thumbprint in one, and it you know, if you put your thumb on it too hard and you're lifting it, you can break the pixel, you know what I mean? Break it on the vertical and the horizontal, and very easily.
Yeah.
So be careful, people, if you're moving those things.
Oh, I'll tell you, I learned that the hard way. I've had a whole rash of MacBooks, you know, with the LEDs come in that have broken front glass. And boy, you get in there with anything that, you know, anything more durable than the edge of a credit card and try to work those things loose. And, you know, just one little tweak and it's like,
yep.
Done.
The other thing I was hoping, you know, we had a couple of televisions that had like a line through the middle, and they were perfectly great televisions, but but we wanted to get a new one. So I started calling around to television repair people, and I said, and I even talked to Samsung on the phone, like, do you guys have like a return service, you know, where you can get a credit instead of just putting these things in electronic recycling? Why don't you guys have a credit service somehow where you can take them these failed televisions that are only a few years old, but they're not really worth fixing for somebody like us, maybe.
Yeah.
But, and they, you know, they just don't have those kind of services. I'm like, gosh, all this wonderful electronics is just going into the dump.
Yeah, and all the rare earth minerals, and, you know, that's something that they've definitely got to get a handle on. It's, you know, where there's a crossroads where my hippie meets my geek. And my hippie's not happy about it, you know.
Well, I did find one guy who took my television and is going to fix it and then sell it to people who can't afford televisions.
Mm.
You know, so that was good. So I was able to not throw mine in the recycle. So
These things are getting so expensive that you're going to be able to set them to 1-877 cars for kids, you know.
That's right. Well, I tell you though, they say that the best time to buy a television is, you know, right either before or after CES, I think. And now, sure enough, these 8K televisions are coming out. I'm really anxious to see how they look.
I'm going to just jump in my car and go down to Vegas and see if I can win one as a door prize.
So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll listen to the rest of the show, guys. Thanks
so much.
Good
to hear from you there. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976.
Donna Dalton, our foreign correspondent, calling in. He's probably like going to the beach or something right now.
I wonder where they went from going telling you the vertical pixels to telling you the horizontal pixels.
It must sound better.
Well, yeah, because you have so your 480p.
Oh, it's horizontal, not diagonal. They're not doing diagonal.
The size is still diagonal.
Okay, got it.
So the original SDTV standard definition was 480p.
Mm-hmm.
And then HD came out, and that was 720p.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next HD came out, which was 1080p, which is really the standard right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have the 4K, which in the old system would be a 2160p.
Okay, that's what this is, what I'm looking
so
at.
That's a equivalent of a 4K.
Okay.
And then there's a couple different formats. There's cinematic 4K, ultra high definition, and there's two other standards.
Mm-hmm.
But most everything is UHD at this point, ultra high definition. And then the 8K stuff would be 4320p. I guess the numbers just aren't as pretty.
Definitely. That is not sexy at all.
Yeah, I got a 4320p.
1080's got a really good ring to it, you got to admit.
Well, we've also been hearing it for close to 10 years at this point.
Yeah, because I was the guy that was always at Target going, God, I really want the 1080p, but I can only afford the 720. So that's so demoralizing. The guy at the checkout register looks at you and goes, oh, you can only afford the 720, huh? Too bad. Those 1080s look awful good. So,
if you can get content for them.
Yes.
And that's the thing with these 4Ks. There's starting to be a lot of 4K content available.
Yeah.
And there's some 8K available, but it's not mainstream yet.
Yeah. And I'll tell you the truth, I've been having some video quality issues on Netflix lately, and that's on my little 32-inch, I don't think it's even high def. It's like standard resolution. There are times that I'm looking at it and I'm going, wait, did...
Yeah, because I've noticed that, like, if we're streaming certain things, it'll go from a nice crisp 1080p, which is what the monitor I'm using will display, and it'll drop down to probably something closer to 720p, and it doesn't really have enough.
I think it's even lower than that.
Because
the first thing I ask myself is, are they trying to simulate what a television broadcast looked like in 1972? Because that's what it looks like.
So it might be dropping down to like 260p or something like that.
Yeah, it's just really bad, and it really does take on this really vintage kind of look, it just gets all blurry, but yeah. So anyway, if there's anybody from Netflix listening, you guys need to get it together over there, because I've just finished the most recent season of The Crown. And
I know I've been noticing a lot of artifacts on YouTube with my Roku recently. Mm-hmm. I know they updated the app a couple of times.
I've had audio artifacts. Have you had that? Just like all of a sudden it's like really loud, random. It like kind of sounds like a gunshot. And I'm like, oh, and it's usually when like during the Netflix logo or at the end of the show or at the end of a program. And I was just going, well, that's a really interesting new little thing they added there. And then I found that it's not even consistent, but that's when it seems to happen. But it's like a gunshot.
I haven't really noticed a difference in fidelity, and I have a very nice set of speakers set up to my Roku, so I don't know.
Well, I'm thinking that because my Roku is, I think my Roku, I probably bought my Roku back when George W. Bush was still president, so I should probably consider getting a new one. And because they got a lot of cool features on the new ones. They got a volume control on the side. I mean, I just set one up, Roku Stick, for my dad. And, you can basically train it to turn your TV on and off. Does yours do that?
I don't have a TV.
Oh.
I have a computer monitor that I'm using as a TV.
Got it. Okay.
Because I have not found a suitable TV to put on the wall yet.
Okay. Ah, that's what the shopping's all about. So, they basically have it so you can basically pair it with the TV and use the power button and the audio controls on it. Nice. That's pretty handy. You know, you can, you know, for the most part, you know, set the other remote control aside for the most part and get everything done with the Roku controls.
So. Yeah, our Roku has served all of our entertainment needs at this point.
We still got time for one call, 970-963-2976. If you're out there and your new Fitbit is not talking to your phone.
Is giving you a fit?
Yes. If you're having fits with your Fitbit, give us a ring and we might be able to help you. And have you heard these stories about people attaching their Fitbits to like a fan or something? You know, and that way, you know, at the end of the day, their wife goes, "Wow, honey, you were really active today." You know?
Oh, look, you did 150,000 steps.
Yeah. Looks like we got a call coming in.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, on this Intel thing, is there something that the public is going to need to fix, or what's going on?
Most of the large players that are issuing or have issued patches for it at this point for, Spectre or Meltdown.
And when you say large players, you mean the computer manufacturers?
Like Microsoft and Apple.
Okay. All right.
So
it's going to be handled at a software patch level from your operating system provider.
Where do you find it?
It'll probably be pushed out. If it wasn't pushed out in today's or tomorrow's update, it'll probably be next week's. But I'm not making any promises.
The,
you know?
The updates are usually pushed out on Thursdays. So
I thought it was Tuesdays. Did they change that?
I think it depends on the company. Most of the Android apps do a Thursday.
Okay.
Push, and some other companies do Tuesdays. It just depends on the company. So like if it's a Microsoft product, you'll want to look up like Meltdown or Spectre, and then you'll look for the Microsoft knowledge base, and there's a install that you'll look for. It'll be like a KB and then like a 5 or 6 digit number, and that'll tell you, and then you can go and look for the installed updates on your computer and find them.
What about Apple?
Saw an article right before we came on the show, and it looks like they have already issued a patch as well. So just make sure you're up to date.
Okay, I'll go find it. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one. I'm Googling Apple update for Meltdown.
Yeah, I think I saw an article that said something about it, but I was going through so many. Nice. So, all right, have a...
Security researchers recently uncovered the issue... To defend against Spectre, Apple has released mitigations in iOS 11.2 and 10.13.2.
All right.
Okay, so iOS 2, what is iOS 11.2.2?
That's for your phone.
Oh, I'm sorry, iOS, and Sierra. And
is it looks like High Sierra or
looks
Sierra?
Like they're going all the way back to El Capitan.
Oh, good.
According to this article. So
since the bug's 20 years
old. So yet one more reason to get your Mac upgraded to El Capitan, at least.
Yep. So. No, I've upgraded my old Mac to El Cap, and it's been just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I really have had great luck with it. And when a machine comes in that needs updating, I usually stop there and let people, you know, put their Apple ID credentials in to update it any further. And then... just kind of like cast them to the wolves, you know. So, all right.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, with Roaring Fork Help Desk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt.
Great. Have a great week, everyone. We'll be back next Monday.